Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Today we pick up where we left off last week. It's time to pray together. It's time to pray together. Now, I have adjusted my message somewhat today because of the historic events that have happened in Israel in the last 24 hours. I am going to address that in the context of us working together as the body of Christ to share the gospel to the world. I want you to hear, while I'll be speaking about nations and worldviews and conflict, I want to make sure you hear me from the very beginning that you and I do not war with flesh and blood. We are not against people groups. We are for the gospel, for the world. And while there are differences in worldviews and truth stands alone, at which we all must submit, we all must bow at the feet of Jesus Christ, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all people groups. You and I are called as the body of Christ to work together to promote the good news that people might be reconciled to God. Our true enemy is the enemy of all, the devil. Satan is the enemy. He is not the equal of God. He is not the equal of Jesus Christ. He is defeated, but he is active. And there is truth and there are lies. There is a true view of God and his kingdom, and there are apostates and antichrist and false views of the kingdom. And you and I must stand for the truth and promote the gospel to all peoples, Jews, Muslims, Australians, and even Lincoln Countyans that don't know Jesus. They need to hear the gospel. And so when I address these issues today, I want you to recognize that God has made a covenant with Israel. Israel at times has been unfaithful, yet God is faithful to his covenant. May I remind you that God has made a covenant with you in Jesus Christ, the new covenant mentioned as early as Jeremiah. And yet, you and I have not always been faithful to the covenant, but God has been faithful to the covenant. He's going to be faithful to his people. He's got a plan for Israel, as I mentioned when we talked about Daniel. If you want to know what's going on, keep one eye on Israel. Don't lose fact. Thousands and thousands of years have passed since the writing of prophetic Daniel, writing of the prophecies in Isaiah, writing of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and Israel is just as relevant in the world stage today. A nation of about 8 to 9 million people, half the size of Mississippi north to south, they are as relevant today in the world's events as they have ever been, and it is a story of God's covenant to his people Israel. You and I are called today to work together for the purpose of the gospel, and we are to call together that all people might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it's time to pray. I want to pick up at the earliest days of the church. Before Pentecost, Christ has ascended. They're gathering, and what are they doing? The Bible says, and when they entered in Acts 1:13, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, and there are the apostles Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord, in one mindset, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. What were they doing? They were assembling for one purpose, to pray. to pray. God had told them to do this. As Jesus, having died on the cross for the sins of the world, buried, experienced the full payment of our unrighteousness, and on the third day God raised him from the dead. And for 40 days in his resurrected body, he went throughout the land. 500 eyewitnesses, the disciples, the apostles that'd be sent out to Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, to the utter ends of the world. They're sent out. That's what literally apostle means, the sent out ones. We might use the term missionaries. But they had seen Jesus. They had seen him do miraculous things. They had heard his teachings of the kingdom of God. They had heard his prophecies of God's plan of salvation, how he would go to Jerusalem and the chief priests and religious leaders would crucify him, and yet on the third day God would raise him from the dead. He prophesied these things and they happened just as he said. And then he said, I'm going, but I'm coming back again in like manner. The same way I ascended up, I'm coming down. While you're looking at Jerusalem, also look to the eastern sky. He's coming again. I'm telling you, just like he said he would. You and I live in a world where Israel is now back in the land. Happened in our generation. These are interesting and critical days for the church. It should motivate us to get the gospel out to all people groups. But let me tell you something. You say, Pastor, why should I pray? One reason you should pray. It's the closest you're going to experience the presence of God in this generation. What do I mean by that? They had actually experienced the physical incarnate presence of God the Son on earth. God the Son having come in the flesh for the purpose of salvation to what? To be a ransom for many. To bring back the redeemed to God the Father. He had a plan, so he comes and takes on flesh. Now, they were literally, they ate with him. They rode boats with him. They walked with him. They heard him. They saw him. And now they saw him ascend. And the first thing they said, well, let's do exactly what God's told us to do and what the saints of old have done. They talked and listened to God. They prayed. They prayed. They turned to the scriptures and prayed the scriptures. They let their supplications and their concerns be known to God. They praised God. They lifted high the name of God. And they did it together. When we sing our songs, we're singing as if we're not only praising God, but they're like prayers going up to God, and we're doing it together. We're literally singing and offering these prayers up to God, prayers of praise, prayers of adoration, prayers of exaltation. When we gather for worship, this is why it just bothers me. When people, a cloud will come up in the sky, and Daddy will say, looks like rain. You don't say that on Monday when it's time to go to work. You don't say that on Thursday when it's time for the kids to go to school because they got a test. But let Sunday, let a cloud come up. Well, we better not go to church today. It might rain. Why, are you afraid the tires on your car are going to get wet? I mean, what's the problem? Least little thing, when you have the opportunity to gather in a holy congregation moment where you get to experience the powerful presence of living Lord Jesus Christ together, that doesn't happen every day. You get to come together on Sunday to offer prayers and praise up to God and experience the presence of risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I'll be in the midst. Man, we've been taking these things for granted. We just think this can happen every day. Let me tell you something. I thank God for technology. If God's providentially hindered you from coming to the church house, coming to the assembly, coming to the place to worship God with the saints of old, I'm telling you, thank God you're living in a wheelchair. You got crutches. You're so sick you can't even get out to go to Walmart. Thank God the church can come into your house and you can see it. But my friend, if you're ambulatory today and you're just lazy, God help you. You can spend all day in downtown Central Business District looking at every shop and tent for all day Saturday, drinking syrupy old drinks and getting hamburgers, and you can do all that, and praise God you can do that. Come Sunday, I'm too tired. My ball game was too late. I got to sleep in. I had to watch the whole ball game. Kept me up all night long. Can't come to Sunday school. Can't come to church. God help us. I'm so sorry for you, dear people. I done got old. I got so old now in the ministry, I don't care what people think anymore. When I was young, I didn't have any money. I had to be concerned what you people thought. Lord, they're going to fire me and I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money now, but I just don't care anymore. I'm just going to tell it like it is. Am I telling the truth or not? We got empty pews all up in here. Let me tell you something. Keith Allred came to church, had a stroke, couldn't speak, couldn't use his right side. His wife had to put him in a wheelchair and bring him up here, and he always sat right there. And right now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, praising him. He's walking and running. He's healed. He got saved when he was a kid, and he lived for Christ. Keith wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. The old boy loved Jesus. And he was here when the church doors were open, and when he couldn't walk, his wife wheeled him in here and put him right there. And let me tell you something. When I would see Keith, couldn't even hardly talk because of that stroke, he'd lift that hand up to Jesus. Just wag that finger. Lord, let's give praise to God. You know what? The last thing he told me, the day he would be gone at 1 o'clock that morning. But I saw him earlier that day. He held my hand and he put it right up to his head. And then he let it go. He looked at me and he just took that finger and he said, I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant. I'm going home. I'm going home. Not because of his goodness, but because of his goodness. Not because of his goodness, because of his grace. In Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, we got a message. We got a message to get out there. I make no apologies. I want to die with my boots on. I want to be faithful to the Lord. This is going to be the longest series I've ever preached because I've not even gotten out of one message yet. I better keep going. Look at how the devil works in our world and how he was working against the disciples. They killed the master, but on the third day, Jesus rose. They were living in fear. The religious leaders were trying to kill the Christian movement. They were looking for leaders every which way to snuff out the gospel. They were meeting secretly in an upper room, about 120 of them gathered up. And here they were saying, God, what do you want us to do? You've told us to go out, but we don't know how to do it. So they said, let's pray. Let's talk to God and let's listen to God and let's do it together. And the devil is working then and the devil is working now. And the first thing the devil likes to do in ungodliness is create lawlessness, anarchy. In fact, the Antichrist is said to be a man of lawlessness. God works in law. The devil works in lawlessness. The next thing you'll see is chaos. You create lawlessness, then you create a spirit of chaos. God does everything decently and in order. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. You don't have to worry about God's world being chaotic. You just look at Genesis 1 and chapter 1 and chapter 2. Right, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. This was done in order. 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 And he says, it's good, 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 good. He looked at the whole thing and said, you know what? This is very good. That's God. The devil and his crowd want to create lawlessness and chaos. And then the devil wants to create doubt and fear. You and I are not given a spirit of fear. Christ does not give you a spirit of doubt and fear and fretfulness. He gives you what? His peace. He puts oil over troubled waters. The devil and his crowd, anarchy, chaos, disorder, fear. World's going to end. Run for the hills. Bag it up. Can it. Preserve it. Dig a hole. The world is going to end. I'm not worried about that. That's already a given. One day my world's going to end. Your world's going to end. One day that's going to come to an end. But Jesus wins. Friend, when you got Jesus, that fear is gone. Don't fear people who can take away your body, your physical stuff, your house, your portfolio. Fear the one who controls your soul. Man, when you're right with God, you'll be right with the right people. You'll be right with the right people. You don't have to worry about that. Give you a few lessons in praying spiritually. We're going to gather together and try to pray for our city as the body of Christ. We've laid down secondary things. We've laid down tertiary things. We have agreed on salvation. Jesus is Lord. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by God. On our prayer walk, Brookhaven, first time in a generation, maybe ever, where churches, Christians who come together and say, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, sister in Christ, Jesus is Lord, and He's calling us to pray for our city. Now, we appreciate all the distinctions in the body of Christ and all the denominations and all those things. We're not asking anybody to sign some creed or covenant or something like that, but we must agree on who is Lord. That is a conviction that cannot be changed or compromised. All the other secondary things that are not directly related to salvation are important in your fellowship, important in your fellowship. But for us, we're coming together on that. How do you pray in spiritual unity? Well, first of all, you pray for a spirit of godly conviction in your endeavors, whatever it is. For us to come together with fellow Christians, fellow believers in Christ, fellow Christ followers, whatever name you want to give it, as long as it's biblical name, you must pray that this be done in the Spirit, because if it's done in the flesh, it will fail. If it's just in the power of good ideas by men, if we could just somehow figure out how to put it together, if we just got smart enough in our ways, my friend, it will fail every time. What we need for spiritual work, for the changing of the hearts of boys and girls and men and women in our community, in our world, we must have the work of the Holy Spirit. We must simply be vessels in which the Holy Spirit uses to accomplish God's purposes. So you must pray. And when they were there in that upper room, let me tell you something. They realized they didn't have any power apart from Christ. How are you going to impact the entire world, 120 people? I'm sure some of those apostles remember the time they had thousands and thousands of people coming to Jesus on the hillside, and Jesus said, before I preach today, I want you to have potluck supper for all of them. And they're looking around like, are you crazy? The Lord's then lost it again. He's done got off on one of these preaching jags, just like that preacher at First Baptist Church. He just done got all excited, and now he wants to feed 5,000 people and all their family before he preaches today. And we don't have any food. We don't even have enough food for ourselves. Oh, yeah, a little kid with a lunch. Great. A few little sardines and some biscuits. What's that amongst so many? Jesus said, let me break it. Let me bless it, and you stand back and collect the rest. I imagine somebody said, you know that time we didn't have but just a little old group of people in this upper room, and how he fed the thousands upon thousands and all their children and their wives? Maybe he'll do it again among us. Why don't we pray and ask God to use, ask God to do something we cannot do. My friend, you and I must pray in one accord. Now, literally, that word did not mean they all agreed on the same thought. What I'm saying is it means so much more than that. Well, we sign the same confession of faith. We all agree on the same. Those are all fine, but it is so much more than that. What it literally means there is they had the same passion. They had the same conviction. Jesus is Lord and the world is lost. And we're called to send the Word of God to the world that so desperately needs it. They were in one accord. And when you and I come together, whether it's Prayer Walk Brookhaven or the work of First Baptist Church, my friend, you and I must ask for God's work to be done through us, and we must seek common ground in Christ. What do we truly believe? Those are the things that draw people together. Togetherness. When we look beyond the worldly things that divide us, when we look beyond all of our identities, and we carry our identities around they are signatures of famous people or something. We identify by football teams. We identify by which grocery stores we like to go to. We identify by the foods we eat. We've got so many identities, the kind of music we like. We like to identify by, are we a truck person or a car person or this kind of car or that kind of car. We just collect identities, and all these things do are divide us up. That's all they do. And they don't mean anything. Let me tell you, one identity matters. Are you in Christ? And that's one of the things when Paul wrote to the church, he said, you know, of all the things y'all talk about, all the things we've talked about, there's only one thing I really want to know. Are you in Christ? The rest of it doesn't really matter. But if you are in Christ, you are my sister. You are my brother. And I'm called to love you and work with you, side by side, serve you and serve with you for the glory of God. You see, they were together in that upper room because all they really had was Jesus. They had signed their homes away. They had signed their life away. But they all had one thing in common. They had been saved by the Master. They had given their life to Him and His cause, and they were together. You've got to pray. And then pray for spiritual power to overcome evil. You and I too often think we can overcome evil if we could just get enough physical power, if we could just get enough military power, if we could just get more guns than they got guns, if somehow we could just get enough money, we could overcome evil. No, the Bible says evil is overcome when good men start living godly lives and are about God's purposes. That's when evil flees. Not by how good we are, but how we live in the goodness of Christ. Now, we have seen something historical happen recently. Hamas attacked Israel. Israel had Hamas terrorists going through villages near the border of Gaza. The latest report that I heard this morning, 600 Israelis have been killed by Hamas. Thousands have been injured by bomb blasts and gunshots. It appears this has been planned for some time, maybe even years. I use this as an illustration of the war of spiritual worldviews. One view has an Islamic worldview. Another has a Judeo-Christian biblical worldview. Al-Aqsa, Allah versus the true God, the Lord Almighty. Hamas chose a name to call this military terrorist operation against Israel, something that has not happened. An actual occupation and invasion of cities in Israel has not happened in 50 years. But this surprise attack happened on the Sabbath, and it happened on a national religious holiday. They caught Israel by surprise. But when these terrorists entered into Israel, they didn't cry, Gaza, 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 like you might say, USA, USA, USA. What did they proclaim? Allah Akbar. Allah is the name of their false god. Akbar means exalted, great. God is great. You see, this is a religious worldview war. It's not just a national war. That's what you're going to see on television. Hamas called this military operation Al-Aqsa Flood Operation. Al-Aqsa means, Al is short for Allah. Aqsa, A-Q-S-A, means exalted one. It's their way of saying Allah is exalted. Now, they have named a mosque on the Temple Mount Al-Aqsa Mosque, Exalted God Mosque. Their name for mosque is like what we might call church, a church building. They call it a mosque, and it's on the Temple Mount, where the Jewish temple once was, on that mound, a 35-acre piece of property expanded by Herod the Great, where the second temple had existed at one time. The temple before that had existed before Solomon's temple had been there, and then the second temple when it was rebuilt by Ezra, and it was expanded during Herod the Great. And that Temple Mount is still there thousands of years later. But the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque is on there. What they were saying is, our God is exalted and we're going to wipe you into the Mediterranean Sea because you are infidels. The Jews, Israel is infidels. Now, you can call it what you want to, but that's what's happening. And guess what? Jews and Muslims and lost people in Lincoln County, they all need Jesus. Don't get caught up in about nationalities. But what you do want to recognize is the difference in world views of these power players. And when we start praying, friend, do not pray for political power. You need to pray that God would honor you in Jesus Christ and be a vessel to promote Him and His godliness and His mission to overcome evil in our world. You see, the devil is trying to create division. You and I are trying to bring unity. So pray for spiritual focus on the Lord's mission. When you see in the world, you need to keep your eye on the ball. This is a lesson we can learn, a lesson you can learn. Keep your eye on the ball. What do I mean by that? What God calls the central command of telling the world about Jesus, of working together for that cause, you and I must not get distracted by other concerns. Yes, you've got a lot of things to do. I've got a lot of things to do. All God's people got a lot of things to do. But keep your eye on the ball. There's a bigger worldview we need to have than just our own little parochial concerns, our own little world concerns, our only what's happening in my life and what I want. When we pray and we pray for our city, we need to be praying for the spiritual condition of the people in this city. Do they know Jesus? Have they been transformed by His grace and by His love? We don't need to just be talking about tax dollars. You got to have taxes. I get it. We got to have streets. We got to have all those things. That must take place. But don't lose the big picture. Do these people know the love of God in Christ Jesus? Keep your eye on the ball. The enemy loves to take advantage of us when we are sidetracked and disunified, when we have lost our spiritual vision. The devil takes advantage of chaos and disorder, and he takes moments like that to create more chaos and to take power. It is important to have law and order. It is important to have those things. But let's make sure that we're doing the work of God. It's no secret that Israel was a threat to the Middle East Muslim community because Israel's leader was working with Saudi Arabia that has the two holiest sites of Islam in it. It is the birthplace of Islam. They were working on a peace agreement, working to try to normalize relationships and work together in the Middle East, not as enemies, not as foes, but trying to work together. That is not what Iran wants. That is not what many of the other nations want in that region. It is no surprise that when you try to work for unity, the devil cranks up disunity. When you're trying to bring order, the devil tries to bring chaos. I'm trying to encourage you today to see that as an illustration in your own life. In your own life, when you get distracted from these things, when you're willing to bring chaos, disorder, you're willing to bring division. Friend, the devil loves that. The devil loves that. The Biden administration has tried to equate the cause of Israel, our democratic ally, our only one in the Middle East, and to equate it with a terrorist organization, Hamas, trying to treat these as the same. Even while Israel was defending women and children from being taken hostages, the Biden administration put out a message to the world, hey, Israel, stand down. That's basically what they said. Now, y'all too need to start behaving better over there, and just everybody, can you imagine if your home was being attacked, your family's being attacked, and the message comes along, hey, y'all just don't do anything. Just just fold your hands and watch it happen. You would never say that. They did take that message down when they got political pushback, but they revealed their hand. They're trying to equate the two. There is not, those two are not the same. The day United States turns its back on Israel is the day we will turn our back on the covenant God has made with Israel, and that is not a good thing for our country. Don't even put a crack in the door. Israel's not perfect. Their government is not God's government. They have turned from God in many different ways, but I'm telling you, God is faithful to His covenant. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. My friend, when God tells me to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and He didn't tell me to stop praying for the peace of Jerusalem, I'm going to keep doing what God tells me to do. Now, I'm going to encourage you, my friend, don't get lost up in the politics. Keep the big spiritual picture. At the same time that was happening, in the U.S. House of Representatives, history was made. The House of Representatives decided for the first time in history to unseat a Speaker of the House because five representatives didn't like an agreement he had made. Those five, along with five more, joined the minority party. They don't agree on anything except for one thing. They both agree chaos is a way to take power. Both agree on that. Create chaos and get power, even if it's just five of you. And even if there's 202 that vote against you, if you can get with this group of people, you can create chaos. Don't think the world watching. Do you know who the U.S. House Speaker is? He is the third, or that position is the third most powerful position in the world. If our president and our vice president were not living, let's pray that never, ever, ever happens, but if that tragedy ever to, guess who is next in line to run this country? The Speaker of the House. We have no Speaker of the House. That position has an interim pro tem, but my friend, that's never been done in history. You don't think our enemies watch that? Division. When a house is divided, it cannot stand. You and I must seek unity. We must seek our convictions in Christ. And when this happens, as an illustration, you and I need to make sure we know what's going on in our house. Because godliness leads from anarchy, chaos, fear and doubt, division, to death. Death. Godliness produces life. Life. The world you and I live in today, we are called to fearless spiritual action to accomplish the Lord's mission. I'm going to encourage you to be people of prayer. Notice what these dear saints, praying together, putting off fear of persecution. They had killed the Master, and Jesus had told them, if they kill the Master, what do you think they're going to do with his followers? The apostles, ultimately, except for John, would eventually give their life for the cause of Christ. It was just a matter of time. But they went fearlessly, overcoming beatings, overcoming persecution, and guess what they went? They went publicly, house to house. House to house, ministering in Jesus' name. I'm grateful you and I don't live in Jerusalem. I'm grateful we don't live in the day of the first century Roman Empire. We have much more privileges, but our call is still the same. And I'm calling us to fearless spiritual action, to pray in unity with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and do what the church has always done, go house to house ministering in Jesus' name. It worked then, it works now. Hamas is going house to house in Israel, even as we speak. But they're not bringing life, they're bringing death. How do you combat that? You go house to house in the name of Jesus and minister life. You go to the people, you go to the nations, you go to them and minister in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you this day, is your family united in Christ? Is your family, are you encouraging each other? Are you loving each other? Are you forgiving each other? But Greg, you don't know what they said. If it's not about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's not gone to the gospel level, my friend, forgive them, love them, and stay true to your family members. It may take 30 years for them to come around, but don't you be the reason that there's disunity and dysfunction in your family. You love them. You say, but they're not easy to love. Love them anyway. Love them anyway. You say, but you don't know what they've done. Love them anyway. Unity, my friend, is the path of God's blessing. You've got to work together. churches have got to work together. We have differences. We've got differences all over. We're different people. You're going to have differences. But my friend, if it doesn't rise to the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, put those things aside and love people and pray together and share together and serve together for the glory of God. God will work all those little things out. You be on the side of unity. And globally, let's be the church that unites. Let's be the church people that come together for Jesus. Who knows? The world might actually be looking. And you know how they're going to tell that you are a true believer and follower of Jesus Christ? By how well you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. They say, you know, look how different those people are. But they've put aside all of those differences for one thing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How about it today? Don't compromise the truth, but there's a lot of things, my friend, that in the ultimate say of God won't really make a difference one way or the other, but Jesus will. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, I come today. I pray for Jerusalem. I pray, Lord, the peace of Jerusalem. Father, I pray today that you would bring that region to Christ. He's their only hope. Father, you call us to love and minister here in Jesus and the community. Help us, Lord, come together. Help us not identify with anything but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, if there are people here who've yet to give their life to Christ, I pray today, Lord, you would convict them of their need to admit they have sinned against you. Lord, just like everyone else, Father, there's no perfect person to follow in this world. We must renounce our sin and turn to Jesus as Savior and Lord, the giver of life, the giver of grace. God, help us today. Take a bold stand for Christ. Someone may need a church home. Someone may need, Lord, a time just to find a prayer place. Come do your work. God, I pray today our hearts would be burdened. Our hearts would be moved by your power and by your grace today. I ask that today during this invitation, whether decisions are private or public, that, Lord, you would have your way. Move for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing together. And you lead you.